Chapter 25. The sound of rustling leaves jarred me from sleep, and as my eyes snapped open, I realized I was lying on a giant stone table in the middle of a goddamned forest, naked as a jaybird. Which was crazy because 2 seconds ago, I'd been in the Hall of Mirrors with Queenie. Only as far as I could tell, she wasn't here in this big empty clearing with me. It was even stranger because I felt really different. I'd spent so much time as a god that it took me several seconds to realize I was back in my normal body. And while I was still powerful, the world no longer bent to my whims, at least not to the same degree. Plus, I was all alone, and while the sky was blue overhead, I could tell that the sun was already edging toward dusk. "Queenie?" I said, as I sat up and looked around at thick trees and bushes that lined the edges of the clearing. But the only response was the rustling of the bushes about 50 feet away. "Is that you?" As I peered closer, the biggest, ugliest-looking hobgoblin I'd ever seen burst through those bushes and eyed me like I was a present and it was Christmas morning. Pustules covered its face, and even though its skin was a particularly vomit-inducing shade of green-yellow, I was suddenly very glad that it was wearing a loincloth because, and trust me when I say this, no one wanted to see that.
"What have we here?"
it asked in a high-pitched, sing-song voice as it pushed through the bushes and unslung its gnarled stone axe from the sling on its back.
"Fresh meat for the grinder," another hobgoblin said as it appeared alongside the first one. And that's pretty much when I realized two things. There were six of them, and they were talking about eating me.
"Meat!"
another cried as it gestured at me with a large cleaver.
"Meat for the stew!"
he turned.
"Bring the stew pot!"
"Oh, I wouldn't do that," I said, as I searched around for something to defend myself and realized that unless I were going to try hitting them with dirt clods, I'd have to rely on my fists, which was fine. I was, quite honestly, down for a little fisticuffs. Sure, I could have grabbed the mandibles from my inventory, and I would if I needed to do so. But for now, I wanted to see how things worked out, especially because I was a fair bit bigger than them.
"And why shouldn't we eat you?"
the first hobgoblin said as he licked his bulldog jowls with a black forked tongue. "Because I'm too tough." I slid off the altar and faced them. And while I should have been scared of them because their names were highlighted in orange, letting me know they were a fair bit higher level than me, I just wasn't. "I wouldn't taste good at all."
"That's why we have the stew pot,"
the cleaver hobgoblin cackled.
"Boil anything long enough, and it will be edible enough to make a turd."
"You'd think that, but it's not true," I said as I settled into a fighting stance. My change in stance didn't go unnoticed by the hobgoblins, but it must not have bothered them, because they just laughed.
"And what do you plan on doing?"
the axe hobgoblin asked, as one ridged brow cocked up in amusement.
"Pummeling us with your dick?"
he gestured at me.
"You don't have a single weapon, and we carry the finest hobgoblin steel in the lands."
"Trust me when I say this, but I don't need a weapon for the likes of you." I took a step toward them and shook my fists. "Besides, I've got thunder and lightning.
It doesn't really matter what you think,
the hobgoblin said, and I realized the others had spread out to encircle me. That was fine, though, because I instantly thought of about 16 ways to take them all down. I mean, this was the kind of thing I had trained for, after all. Well, that's kind of rude, I said, right before the hobgoblin to my left loosed an arrow at me. In one practiced movement, I stepped to the side and snatched the projectile out of midair. And then before they could react, I concentrated my aura into my body and let it loose as I flung the arrow back at its owner. The creature's eyes widened in shock right before the arrow's head smacked into its helmetless forehead with enough force to fling him back off his feet. "Who's next?" I asked as his lifeless corpse twitched on the ground. As I raised my hand and used auric extraction on the body, I felt a grin cross my face as I goaded the others with a gesture. "Well?"
Pattern. Hobgoblin Archer has been learned. Would you like to create a Hobgoblin Archer?
Kill the human!
The cleaver hobgoblin cried and charged with a guttural scream before I could summon the creature.
We will spread him on bread!
A spear hobgoblin taunted as he moved in from behind. Flanking me would have been a smart move, only they were so slow that it was almost like they weren't moving at all. I stepped to the side as I produced a mandible from my inventory, parried the cleaver hobgoblin strike with my weapon, and smashed my foot into his knee. His leg gave out instantly, and as he collapsed to the ground with a scream, the spear hobgoblin laughed at me, his weapon pointed right at where my heart would be. I let him nearly stab me, but as the spear got close enough to plunge through my flesh, I moved. All it took was a simple spin combined with a quick strike to tear the weapon free of the hobgoblin's hands.
Looks like I've got your spear,
I said, right before I headbutted the hobgoblin in the face. The blow shattered his nose. And as he stumbled backward, I shoved him off balance, which was easy enough because I was almost 3 feet taller than him and juiced on aura. Then I whirled around and flung the spear I'd stolen at another hobgoblin. The aura-infused spear ripped through the hobgoblin's chest with so much force that it pinned the creature to the tree behind him. As blood spurted into the air in great arcs and his feet frantically kicked in the air before going limp, the other hobgoblins took off into the brush and yelled,
"Retreat!"
"That's right," I called. "You'd better run from me."
I took a step toward broken knee and broken nose and grinned at them. Only as I did it, I let my face expand so that I made a full-on Cheshire Cat smile. I need you to tell me something.
What?
The hobgoblin I'd shoved to the ground whimpered as he backpedaled away from me. Where is the closest town with people like me? I asked, because as I looked around, I realized I had no idea how to find my next objective or anything else.
There's no one like you.
He swallowed, hard.
But there is a town 10 miles from here. It is along that path.
He pointed to a mostly overgrown trail that led off into the woods.
Maybe someone there can help you.
He swallowed again. Thank you. I took a step closer. I'm going to let you live so you can tell the others not to fuck with me. I touched my chest with my thumb. Because I
am the destroyer of worlds. Beware my fury. The sight must have been too much for the creature, because he fainted dead away. And as I stared at him for a moment, the hobgoblin with the broken nose let out a coughing wheeze.
"You'd really let us live?"
he asked, as I moved over to the hobgoblin I'd speared and absorbed him.
"Pattern. Hobgoblin warrior has been learned. Would you like to create a hobgoblin warrior?"
"I am a generous god," I said with a glance at the injured creature. "Now, take your friend and go." He didn't need to be told twice. He hastily leapt to his feet, grabbed up his injured companion, and took off into the brush. As I watched him go, I got a new message and smirked. Originally, I'd just wanted to avoid having the hobgoblins come back with 100 men, but this, it was a nice bonus.
"You have gained notoriety among the hobgoblins. They will now be less inclined to attack you."
When I was sure they wouldn't just come back, I began to summon my ants. Which was when I realized that every last one of them, including Queenie, had been placed back into storage when I'd entered the mirror, as had my clothes and other equipment. It made sense now that I had thought about it. After all, Terraforma hadn't let you prepare before entering a new world, but at the same time, I'd never really tried to bring an army of summons through the portal. Naturally, I began with Queenie.
"Thank you for summoning me, Master," Queenie said, after I had summoned her from Auric Limbo a few moments later. "My only regret is that I was not here to rend these hobgoblins apart for you."
She gave the body of the dead archer a contemptuous little kick. "It's not your fault," I shrugged as I sucked in a deep breath and let my aura refill. "Once we get the army up and going, we'll head to the town they told me about." She nodded, but her lips were still pursed into a hard line, and I knew that she was still upset that she had not been able to kill them for me.
"Would you like me to search the dead for you, Master?"
She glanced at the dead hobgoblins. "Yes," I said as I sat down on the altar to rest a bit. "If I sit still, my aura will refill faster."
"Very well,"
she said, and moved toward the first one as I examined the patterns of the 2 hobgoblins I'd absorbed. While I was excited to see the archer, because I'd finally have a ranged creature at my disposal, the warrior didn't seem especially interesting. That said, I decided to summon one of each anyway, just so I could see what they'd be like in combat. That was also when I realized a problem. "You don't spawn with weapons or equipment, do you?" I asked Willie and Nelson as they stood before me, almost as naked as the day they were born, assuming they were born. I was only protected from the visual assault of hobgoblin privates by white loincloths that thankfully appeared when they were summoned. As for my question, I wasn't sure why I'd expected a response, since neither of them was at the class of Queenie. But I sort of got one because they both shook their heads. I let out a sigh and then shrugged before looking up at Queenie. "Queenie, let them pick out what they want from the stuff we got."
"As you wish, Master,"
Queenie complied. And then before I could say more, her multifaceted eyes fixed on the 2 hobgoblins, and they hastened to get moving. "Let me guess," I said as I watched them strip down their old corpses and begin to re-equip themselves. "You can communicate with them?"
"Sort of," Queenie sighed. "It is much more difficult than with the ants you have created, but I can do it a little via mental commands. I am sorry I am not better at it."
"Stop apologizing," I said with a wave of my hand. "I'm pleased you can do it at all."
The smile that she gave me at that brightened my day in a way I couldn't quite explain. So I just smiled back before I went back to summoning the rest of my army.